ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, September 27th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody.
And same to you, and same to all our listeners out there. And I think we could all use a break. This weekend is going to be looking mighty fine, and for a break from all the news. And although I save that, you know, my nose will be in the news all weekend long anyway.
But turn the TV off.
Jeez. Well, I do reading. I do a lot of reading for my news. So. Gold today, pressure, a little bit of pressure on it, down 860 at 1,496.70 in the New York spot price after market. The high for the day was 1,503. Silver was down 34 cents, once again, almost 2% at $17.54. Don't get discouraged, ladies and gentlemen, because of these prices are going down. We're going to talk about some reports today that are, you know, the long-term price for gold and silver is higher. And you don't buy any product, precious metals, thinking that it's going to go up overnight and you'll be able to sell tomorrow and become rich. That's not why you buy gold and silver. So silver down 34 cents at 1755. Platinum 933. Palladium had another good day, up almost 1%, 16 bucks at 1689. The USDX today was a little bit weaker, 0.10. But still 99.10, 99.10 for the USDX. Crude oil was down 58 cents at 55.83. And the paper markets, excuse me, the paper markets today had a little bit of a reversal after a comment from the White House about China, and we'll talk about that too. Down 70 points on the Dow at 26,820. The NASDAQ was down 91 at 79.39, and the S&P was down 15 at 29.61. 10-year yield 1.68%. December contract 1502 for gold. European Asian markets were quiet, although London was up over 1%. Don't ask me why, but maybe old Boris Johnson had a good day or something. Who knows? See if there's anything else interesting going on. Now, Bitcoin is still above 8,000, but looking to break that by 16 points pretty soon, I expect. So, you know, it was kind of a quiet Friday considering all that has gone on this week.
I think I find it fairly significant, Melody, that the futures remained, gold futures remained above 1500.
Yes.
After all the craziness that could have easily, you know, dampened investor interest. But as we'll talk about in a moment, and as we've been talking about, just so many reasons out there geopolitically and economically, why prices will continue to rise over time.
You're absolutely correct, and I think one of the biggest is really the dollar. I mean, the dollar gained, you know, it had some pretty, had some long legs this week. It bumped up over 99, still above 99, and gold is still where we're at. So yeah, that is significant what you just said, and this is really interesting. I have to think through these things before I make my comments. But we had the reversal.
Sorry,
in the...
I didn't quite catch that. Could you please repeat it?
Stupid phone.
Who do you
want to
call?
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. That's my cell phone that I can't...
I thought that was a comment from a caller.
I can't shut my phone off, you know? Oh, maybe if I could put it in the drawer here.
Oh, the vagaries of today's technology.
Oh, jeez. But, okay, now let's get serious, Melody. We had a reversal on the stocks after Today there was a report from the White House that they're considering limits on U.S. investment into China. And, of course, this is going to aggravate the protracted trade dispute between the globe's two largest economies. The Trump administration officials, they're discussing ways to curb U.S. financial exposure in China, including a block of all American investment in the country. Such an action could send shockwaves through these financial markets. It's going to involve the billions of dollars in investments that are tied to these major indexes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, they erased about 130 points following the report. The S&P 500 also reversed all of its gains amid losses in the communication services, utilities, technology, and of course we saw the NASDAQ drop by 1%. It's also being reported that among available options is delisting Chinese companies from the U.S. stock exchanges and limiting Americans' exposure to the Chinese markets through government pension funds.
That's huge. I can't imagine that would happen, but I mean, I guess you never know. But I suspect that could really bring Congress into the fold here in a political sense, particularly as they hear from the directors of these leading pension funds and other major investment funds. But you never know. There are some respected Wall Streeters, as much as they largely act in their own self-interest out there, that think that this could be good for the overall economy. But I don't know. I don't see that particular thing happening, but certainly as a possible negotiating tool, Melody, going into the October trade talks. Well, maybe that's what that was all about. The efforts to curtail American investment in China supposedly would be undertaken with the goal of protecting U.S. investors from the excessive risk due to lack of regulatory supervision in China. Now, despite today's latest reports, trade talks between the U.S. and China are scheduled to resume October 10th and 11th in Washington. The two countries are hoping to end the tit-for-tat tariff war that's resulted in the imposition of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of tariffs on each other's imports. Now, U.S. consumer spending slowed more than expected in August, according to a government report released today. Personal consumption expenditures, also known as household spending, edged up an adjusted 0.1% in August over July, when spending rose 0.5%. The figures represent consumer spending's softest reading since February and could suggest to policymakers, namely the Fed, that a critical driver of U.S. GDP growth is slowing down.
I'm going to go back and just say a little bit on this this report about, if you pulled these companies, we saw Alibaba, they dropped 7% on the news. A lot of these Chinese corporations that are in our indexes, the NASDAQ and so forth, they all dropped significantly. I don't understand why you would use this as a bargaining chip, because it's going to hit the stock markets, and we know it's all about the stock markets. So not only does it hurt the Chinese, but it also hurts the people that are invested in these markets in their pension and retirement accounts.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't understand. It's not protecting the investor, the American investor. It's hurting them. And also, after this news was released, the Chinese currency, the yuan, it dropped 10 points. So we have an administration that is constantly blaming China for devaluing their currency to help them with trade. So why would we do something, you know, to where their currency would drop? And I guess there is a significant difference whether when you have a currency that you control it as it going down versus it's in free fall. No country wants their currency in free fall. But so, you know, and ours really didn't do much. I mean, ours didn't drop. And I, you know, so again, it goes to show what words can affect the stock market coming from the president.
You know, so. Agreed.
And I think if this was going to be a threat to President Xi, it would be done behind closed doors. Or is this just as, see, this is what I can do? I don't know. But it's really interesting. But I don't think any, I mean, we all know the market's going to tank anyway. So with that on the side, knowing that's going to happen anyway, I don't think they would use this as the way to do it. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating and interesting. But you know, you were talking about the consumer spending. This was the softest read since February, and we all know that the consumer spending, and it does account for about 66%. Of the total economic output here in the United States. We saw the NAR, the National Association of Realtors, their pending home sales index rose a little bit, 1.6% for August. The dollar had held near multi-week highs against the major currencies. And so I guess that's really about it. I think gold and silver's done very well. You're going to see bigger... you're going to see bigger moves in silver only because it's $17 versus $1,500, you know, so you can have a little bit more volatility in the silver, but I think both have done extremely well, and I think they're all positioned to continue to go higher, even though we're going to have some ups and downs, and we tell you all the time, listeners, it's going to go up and it's going to come down. It's going to go up and it's going to come down, but we're going to have bigger gains and higher highs.
It's going to go up more than it's going to go down, right?
Yep.
Exactly. I don't know about you, but I'm buying gold and silver these days, Melody. Now we're going to talk about the Fed more and more today, just because there's a lot going on that involves them in the news, but we've got a couple of Fed officials who are saying conflicting things over the future path of interest rates. The Fed should lower interest rates further because the U.S. economy has not yet fully reached its potential. That's Minneapolis Fed President Neel Kashkari, who said that yesterday. He said, "I argued for steeper interest rate cuts," probably at last week's meeting, "just because I see no evidence that the U.S. economy is running at capacity or beyond capacity. There's no reason we should have interest rates trying to hold the economy back." Last week, as listeners know, Fed policymakers lowered short-term borrowing costs to a range of 1.75 to 2.0%. But Kashkari said earlier this week that he believes rates should be a half a percentage point lower. The Fed had been periodically raising interest rates since late 2015 due to a strengthening economy, but started reversing course in July, citing the increasing impact of slowing global growth, U.S. trade tensions, and moderate inflation that were stubbornly below the Fed's target.
So they tell us. You know what, Kashkari, I don't know, he's kind of creepy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't, you know, I'm not basing my, you know, but I don't know. Right now he doesn't have a vote on the monetary policy this year, but he does, he'll have a vote next year. And both him and the St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, they've been the most vocal in pushing for lower interest rates at the Fed. seeing that the economy in a weaker state than almost all of their fellow policymakers. But you know what, Dave, doesn't matter how much they push or how much the Fed wants to go. I mean, we've seen, you know, in the repo market, rates are going to go higher no matter where that number's at, perhaps, which can also damage, you know, and that has major implications in the system.
Indeed.
So again, they can lower it to zero. And they can go negative. And that doesn't mean that's where higher rates are not going to come into play in various areas of these markets and segments of the policies. But
yeah, well, you have Dallas Fed Prez Robert Kaplan said that he's agnostic about the need for further rate cuts. So he, I guess he remains, you know, an outlier. Again, though, he like Kashkari, is not a voting member this year, but I think he rotates onto the FOMC next year as well. You know, he says monetary policy is now at a level he considers a little accommodative, meaning it should support spending and investment and guard against a slowdown. Global growth is decelerating, he added. We're in this tenuous period. But the United States can skate through this, his words, without a downturn, given strong consumer spending and a strong job market. Well, we're going to talk about, or I think we actually did just mention, some fairly modest consumer spending numbers that just came out. He said, if the consumer stays strong, we are not going to have a recession. The thing we're watching is whether decelerating global growth, weak U.S. manufacturing, and weak U.S. business fixed investments spreads through the rest of the economy. I'm not sure, Melody, how it can't. You know, he said at this point he felt the U.S. would avoid a shaky outcome, a severe downturn, as he calls it. Like Kashkari, he's not a current voter on interest rate policy. So the ups and downs, the ins and outs, and just the massive uncertainty in the Fed continues.
Yeah, I don't know how they can say that with a straight face, how they think that, you know, they all agree global growth is declining. They all agree to that. So how could it not spread through to our economy? I mean, it's...
Yeah, well, you know, the thing that's interesting is that each of these Fed governors have their own economic models that show, you know, different inputs for growth. And I'm amazed that some of them are still showing growth of 3%.
Well, yeah, because they're inputting fake numbers. We'll be right back, ladies. We're going into a real commercial. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csctalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Please visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And, of course, also we have a blog that goes out once a week on Fridays, sometimes Saturdays, and even sometimes Thursdays or Tuesdays, depending on what's depending on what's happening in the news, because we want to update you. And when there's really important information, not just noise out there, not just a bunch of distractions, but real news, we're going to get it to you. So make sure you sign up. We appreciate it. And, of course, these programs, you can go to the radio page. You can listen live or you can listen to the archives. They're posted there for years. And we do appreciate each and every one of you that supports us here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. A lot of the funds go right back into supporting other programs, other educators, as far as what's happening to our economy and to our money, like Greg Hunter, CSC Talk Radio, and a few others. So please make sure you give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And Dave, I made a statement, and it hasn't, it's still in the back of my mind. I made a statement at the end of August that I said during September I was going to bring more news and quotes and pricing and comparisons about gold. Here it is, September 27th, and it was a pretty hectic month, so I kind of didn't get to do that. As it's probably one of the first months in a long time that I didn't address a lot of the gold coins and specials and so forth in a very long time. So next week is October.
Yes, it is.
So, with that in mind, ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until October for my specials and deals, because we'll make you a special by your own personal special. You just have to call us. And I'll make it a point because I think we're going to be heading into the end of the year, and Lord knows what's going to happen next year. Into some very volatile times. And I think gold is going to be the recipient of that, with higher prices along with silver. So give us a call at 800-375-4188. You know, we're talking about the economy, and we're just going to touch on some of these articles and reports, stats that were released. New orders for key U.S.-made capital goods that unexpectedly fell in August, and shipments rebounded moderately, pointing to a continued weakness in business investment, and it declined at its steepest pace in 3.5 years in the second quarter. Commerce Department said this morning that orders for non-defense capital goods, excluding aircraft, dropped 0.2% last month. This also came amid weak demand for electrical equipment, appliances, and components, and computers and electronic products. So core capital goods, they increased slightly, 1.1% on year-on-year basis. core capital goods shipments are used to calculate the equipment spending in the government GDP's measurement. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Just the only thing I noticed in that article, real briefly, Melody, was that, you know, Jerome Powell last week said that, you know, trade policy tensions, which he said have waxed and waned, and elevated uncertainty is weighing on U.S. investment. And he says that's posing an ongoing risk to the economic expansion. He also said in his press conference that Fed contacts had told the Fed policymakers that trade policy uncertainty continues to discourage them from investing further in their businesses. Not a surprise there. I think it's just a way of emphasizing some of the numbers that you just mentioned. Now, on another end, and this is particularly eye-opening, oil, as we know, slid today, but it came, the slide came after Iranian President Hassan Rouhani alleged that the U.S. offered to remove all sanctions on Iran in exchange for negotiations. Presumably on the nuclear activities and the other arrangements having to do with and certainly sanctions that are devastating the Iranian economy. President Trump and the State Department denied those claims, and that caused oil to rebound somewhat from the lows of the day. Rouhani said the German Chancellor, the Prime Minister of England, and the President of France were in New York and all insisted that this meeting take place, presumably these negotiations. And America says that it will lift the sanctions. He added that it was up for debate what sanctions will be lifted, and they, the U.S., had said clearly that we will lift all sanctions. Trump later tweeted, of course, no, to Iran, who he said wanted him to lift the sanctions in order to meet. A very interesting and I would say very dubious claim, given the source, Rouhani and his delegation at the UN and in general have not been what I would call the most reliable of diplomats, global leaders that we can count on, in, particularly with such a critical issue like this nuclear deal.
No, but you know, I think I mentioned it when with you on the program where I saw he was interviewed by Chris Wallace, and like I said, I agree with you. You take it with a grain of salt with what he said and so forth. But it was interesting. and it's
were they talking about this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And not to the fact that Trump would issue sanctions. This was on Sunday, that he would eliminate all the sanctions. This was on Sunday, and they were just talking about it. But it was interesting. What's also interesting is they also interviewed, and I mentioned this on the program earlier this week, the Pakistani Prime Minister. Mm-hmm. And again, you listen with a grain of salt. But sometimes you just might get a little thread of truth
mm-hmm.
in there. And sometimes mm-hmm. what they make sense, what they say, can make a little bit of sense for everything else. But you know, I find those interviews fascinating. And but again, you know, take it with a grain of salt with what they say, because they do have a history of...
That they are.
But anymore, why are they any different than anybody else?
just
everybody's out there kind of, hedging the truth. And
misdirecting, misrepresenting, misinforming, lying.
A little bit. Here's another supporter, again, not fans of the central banks or the big banks, but here's UBS. They're talking about gold hitting 1600 by the end of the year. Since June, we know that gold is up $200. And And really, we did not enter into a summer doldrum that we normally do. And that's very exciting. Joni Teves?
I think it's Teves.
Teves, precious metals strategist at UBS. He said the other day that, or she, is upgrading her gold forecast as she sees prices pushing through $1,600 an ounce by the end of the year. Of course, they don't sell gold. You know, they might sell the ETFs, but, you know, they're not going to sell you any physical gold.
Yeah.
But she says she also sees the gold prices extending into next year above $1,600 and continuing to rise into 2021. Participation so far has largely been limited to institutional investors and the official sector. I'm assuming that means governments. As gold gains further upward momentum, we think other areas in the market can become more active and support the next leg higher. And it is. It's just the way all bull markets begin, you know.
Yeah. Well, she said that not only will investment demand remain strong throughout the next 2 years for gold, that is, she expects physical demand to pick up eventually as consumers adjust to higher prices. Her latest comments come as gold prices have remained resilient in the face of some temporary renewed momentum in the equity markets, particularly, as Melody has mentioned, a stronger U.S. dollar. Now, despite the headwinds, gold prices have managed to hold critical support above $1,500 an ounce. As Melody mentioned earlier, the head at the top of the program, you know, December futures still above $1,500. That's all good news. Now, she thinks this is interesting. An important factor for most investors, the fear of missing out, known as FOMO, F-O-M-O. But the fear of missing out in the next gold rally, she thinks, is encouraging investors to buy, in dips in prices. She added that given potential upside catalysts in the coming months, such as, you know, a dovish Fed and continuing trade uncertainty, there's a risk that investors once again get left behind. And that, she says, could drive, or she doesn't say, she implies that would be a big factor in driving the price of gold over $1,600.
Well, you know, she also looks, even if it does correct, she gave $1,450 as a level to hold. But we haven't seen anything, you know, so far we've been holding again, as Dave said, at this level. So, and she does talk about silver and, you know, the ratio. And so we certainly do see both of these metals going higher. And I mean, it baffles, yet I understand the degree of manipulation along with the negative encouragements for purchasing gold.
Mm-hmm.
But it still ceases to amaze me that it still remains at these levels,
mm-hmm.
considering everything that's going on.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just, but anyway, so it will catch up. It will catch up. Well, you know, the U.S. Treasury printed another $243 billion worth of paper in 2018, with the majority being issued as $100 Federal Reserve notes. What's interesting is that the Reserve banks estimated the number of notes they were going to remove from circulation and destroy accounted for 75% of the U.S. Treasury 2018 print order. However, according to the Federal Reserve's website, the currency in circulation in 2018 increased by about $100 billion. So out of the $243 billion in new printed Federal Reserve notes in 2018, only $100 billion were used to increase the total currency in circulation. But we should also take into consideration the stockpile of new notes that's sitting at the Federal Reserve banks beside the new 2018 printed notes. So, there's a lot of numbers there, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. A lot of billions of dollars.
I know.
So either way, The Treasury printed $243 billion in new Federal Reserve notes. I hope you had your pencils out last year. But at what cost, Dave?
Well, that's a good question. You know, well, the U.S. Treasury printed $2.163 billion $1 bills. They produced $1.753 billion of $100 bills at a total face value of $175+ billion. That's the $100 bill accounted for 72% of the value of all the Federal Reserve notes printed in 2018. That's a lot of $100 bills out there. I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm naive because I don't carry a lot of cash anymore, but is that what you see and hear among you know, people out there, Melody, that, I mean, $100 bills is the currency of preference to carry for, you know, general current, you know, purchasing powers?
It just goes to show you how worthless our money is.
Well, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
Yep.
So it's this article a little disjointed and a little difficult to follow because they go on to try and compare the cost of production of the dollar bills to the production for gold, and I'm not really going to go there because I didn't understand it, for one thing. For two, I mean, it was just confusing.
A lot of numbers.
Yeah, indeed.
And we're here to break down those numbers.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other just important things I'll note with this article is over the past 20 years, the percentage of $100 bills relative to the total currency in circulation has risen from 65% in 1998 to 80% in 2018. And that means 80% of the value of currency in circulation consists of $100 bills. Again, that baffles me.
It just shows the worth, how our currency is, how our fiat dollars have been devalued.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't buy anything, and you know, dollar bill doesn't buy anything anymore.
Yeah, maybe
$5 doesn't buy anything anymore.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I mean,
you have to carry around $100 bill.
Well, the point is, maybe one of the points is that, you know, the U.S. dollar is going to continue to come under serious threat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the global economic system continues to unravel, especially when slowing global oil production can no longer prop up the world's massive debt.
Yep.
And at that time, the cost to produce fiat money especially will offer a clue as to which form of money will be the ultimate protector of wealth. And we believe firmly, intuitively, fundamentally, that ultimate protector, gold and silver.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188. I just love it when somebody calls and says, you know, I don't even have to look up your number anymore. I just know it. And sometimes I dial your number by mistake because I know it so well.
That's a good sign. It makes me feel good.
800-375-4188.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. I know Melody just wants to move on to this, but who wouldn't want to listen to this pleasant voice? Oh. And who wouldn't want to listen? I mean, you talk about the difference between Discount Gold and Silver Trading and some of these other companies. What Melody said at the outset of the second segment really stuck with me, that, you know, even though, you know, she hasn't talked a lot about specials on the air the past few weeks, she encouraged you to call her and that she would talk about, you know, your own special, depending on what you were looking for. And I guarantee you, you call any of the other trader retailers in this industry, you're not going to get that kind of offer. It's like, well, you know, check out our website. You know, that's what we can offer you today. Melody sees it another way. I mean, you're not going to find a more customer focused gold and silver trader in the country, if not the world, than Discount Gold and Silver Trading. So I sorry, Melody, I just had to throw that in there as we kick off the third segment.
Well, thank you. The very kind words. I appreciate it. But true, very true. Let's talk about the ECB that appears to be moving closer to chaos. This is the new changes that are coming. And Dave and I had a little bit of fun during the break because the European Central Bank Executive Board member from Germany is set to resign at the end of October. And, of course, this is slightly more than 2 years before the end of her term. Now, she has a real interesting name. And it kind of made us, and no disrespect to her, none whatsoever, but Dave said that we ought to talk about in our Pennsylvania Dutch. Anyway, I shouldn't go on and share what we talk about during the break, but her name is Sabine Lautenschlager. And if anybody can spell it, I'll give you a free Silver Eagle. But anyway.
Hey. Oh, boy, isn't that tempting? That's classic.
Without looking it up, I don't think anybody could.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Melody and I, native Pennsylvania Dutch persons. So when we see a name like that, it makes our day.
Yeah, it takes me home.
Mm.
But, you know, what's interesting about this, no one really knows what her motives are. And so it kind of adds a little bit of chaos at their central bank. And because it's a month before Christine Lagarde, who will be heading in there, that's going to be taking over from Mario Draghi just in November. So, you know, she's going to have a tough job making sure that the ECB keeps running effectively. Lautenschlager has been a vocal opponent of the ECB's recent decision to restart quantitative easing. That's what's interesting, and as it tries to counter a slowdown and bring inflation back on target. But a single difference of view can't explain what a shock move. there are bound to be disagreements within any interest rate settling bodies, particularly in a currency union such as the Eurozone, Dave.
Well, this week's departure points rather to the deep turmoil and unease at the central bank, according to a number of observers. Draghi's recent monetary policy package, which also includes a rate cut and easier lending terms for member banks, has prompted sharp rebuttals from several governors of Eurozone central banks, including the Netherlands and Germany. The impression is of a significantly divided ECB that's going to require deft leadership from Lagarde to be brought back into line. And the stakes couldn't be higher, ladies and gentlemen. You know, whether or not we like the central bank aspect, to the extent that we've got these major fiat currencies driving, driving the economy of the world, the ECB is known as the best functioning institution in the Eurozone. It's provided enormous support to the European economy. It's going to be even more important with, the outcome of Brexit. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just agreeing with you with Brexit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. While political leaders have often failed to deliver sensible fiscal policies and structural reforms. Sound familiar, ladies and gentlemen? It's also promoted the ECB, an innovative agenda to reform the euro area, starting with the creation, interestingly, of a banking union, which I actually know very little about at this point.
Well, you know, Lagarde stood behind Draghi's famous 2012 promise to do whatever it takes if things go awry.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Lautenschlager. I guess she disagrees with that. So it really is kind of interesting. She's leaving at this time with all these changes, with the Brexit coming October 31st.
Yeah.
And, Lagarde taking over November. So things are kind of interesting. I think that could be a pretty rocky course over there. And again, why do we talk about these things?
Because they matter.
Yes. It matters to what happens here. It does filter through. Contagions exist when we are a globalized economy anymore and banking system. Whether you agree with it or not, we are a global banking system. Wall Street. That's all they care about. It's all connected. And here's something you don't hear much anymore about Puerto Rico. They release a bankruptcy plan.
Yeah, this came out of nowhere, didn't
it?
Yeah, didn't
it did. And so you know that, you know, they had the hurricane and they've been wrangling with its creditors for several years. And so now they disclosed a plan to resolve the biggest governmental bankruptcy in United States history. And yes, United States history, by cutting $129 billion in debts to about $86 billion. Now, that's a reduction of 33%. Now, the plan, it was hatched by a 7-member federal oversight board, is now before a federal judge who will decide any disputes. Now, there's sure to be plenty, I'm sure. The various parties are tangled in an unprecedented financial collapse. But Puerto Rico's inability to pay its debt required Congress to create a new law called PROMISA. And that allowed a territory to essentially seek bankruptcy protection. Now, if the plan survives the challenges ahead, it could be a model of how struggling states are going to deal with their financial problems in the future. And that's what it's all about, Dave.
Yeah, it is. I believe too. I mean, we talk regularly on the program about unfunded liabilities, state and local government pension plans here in the states. Illinois, New Jersey, and several others are weighed down by heavy debts, particularly because of unfunded pension liabilities. But like Puerto Rico, before PROMISA, states can't declare bankruptcy. It would require congressional action to extend a version of that framework to them. Now, the efforts to make Puerto Rico solvent have been complicated. requiring novel maneuvers by the oversight board that, you know, has to garner the support of enough stakeholders to move forward. And plenty of stakeholders there are. The parties include bondholders, pensioners, current government employees, and lots of others who have, not to mention the taxpayers at large, who are going to have a chance to vote on the deal they're offered. And so far, Melody, this looks like the support has been mixed. Some bondholders have supported the plan, while others have signaled a willingness to fight it out in court, primarily because they're going to get a lot less, than what they otherwise would have been due.
And we know that it would make certain bondholders, so, you know, maybe be the big losers. It's going to trim the island's bond obligations to $41 billion from $75 billion. That's a 45% reduction, but that's just an average. And we've heard this administration, we heard President Trump talk about this, that this is something that's going to happen and going to get done. It's been mentioned. It isn't new. And perhaps by mentioning it, this is what they were actually working on anyway. Under the surface, you know, some bondholders will get a 64 cents on the dollar, while others just get 35 cent. The few lucky, those holding a certain type of sales tax-supported bond, they come out with 93 cents on the dollar. But you know what? There's others that could risk and get nothing at all.
Mm.
So, you know, it's interesting that this new plan may look like it's going to wipe out billions of dollars in debt overnight. But in reality, a lot of these losses have been sustained already. These bonds have been actively traded since they were issued, and the territory's steadily worsening financial situation has pushed their value down over the years. And their prices have bottomed out after Hurricane Maria, two years ago?
Yeah. You know, in Puerto Rico, these bonds, like virtually every other general obligation bond issued by U.S. state and local governments, carry a constitutional guarantee and are supposed to be bulletproof. That is, you know, that there's a guarantee by the issuer, the state or municipality, that the bondholder will be paid. Usually they're from, you know, general taxes. Sometimes they're from, you know, revenues that are generated by the bonds. Overall, they're constitutional guarantees. Not necessarily so in reality. You know, an investor who bought the same bond amid the devastation of Hurricane Maria, when nearly everybody else was selling, would have paid around 20% of the face value. From his perspective, the new debt plan more than triples his or her money. But other legal challenges await the plan from bondholders who believe the oversight board, was far too generous to Puerto Rico's retired government workers. Unrest in the islands, on the islands, Melody.
Well, this is kind of interesting, and I'm not quite sure what the impact is or how to really take this, but, you know, Saudi Arabia is planning to open up to take to tourists. I was going to say terrorists, but they're already there. They're already there. They got there before the tourists. But the country said today that it would open up the country to international tourists. They've announced a new visa program for citizens of 49 countries that is intended to diversify the economy and reduce the kingdom's dependence on oil. Under its de facto leader, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, Saudi Arabia has been eager to bolster its international standing, particularly in the West, and draw investment, but it's unclear how attractive it will be to tourists. He says he's opening it for tourists, but it seems like it's more to the tourist. It's more than just tourists. It's like he's opening it up for business.
I wonder if tourists. That's the real end.
Yeah, the country is notoriously repressive, drawing condemnation for an austere interpretation of Islam that includes strict social codes. And some of the rules governing public behavior have been significantly relaxed, of course, under Prince Mohammed. But Western visitors to the country will encounter an atmosphere that is far more restrictive to what they are used to. It's I knew a girl in state college. She was Philippine. She wanted to come to the States, but she, and lots of times before they come to the States, it's like they have to go someplace else before they get here. And she went to Saudi Arabia, and she started working for the princesses. And she told me, she said, and she was housed, I think I said this on the program, I'm not sure, but she was housed across the street from, you know, where she worked, so she didn't have the far. She says she was terrified just to walk to work in the morning.
Mm, I'll bet.
Because that is the treatment.
As a woman from another country, especially.
Yes. And she says she was just crossing the street. She'd be approached and, you know, things. And so she was happy to get out of there. And, you know, she was able to come to the States. So I'm not sure how well. I mean, a lot has to change over there in order to accept Western.
Yeah, I suspect they've got a major marketing challenge ahead of them. You know, interestingly, their tourism chief, you know, said they are looking that, you know, by opening up, excuse me, that tourism would form up to 10% of Saudi Arabia's annual GDP compared with its current 3%. That's huge. That's more than tripling that. Now, they claim now that billions of dollars are being spent to improve infrastructure, you know, to prepare for this new stage of existence.
Mm-hmm. Pier 1 is closing 70 stores. They should have some good deals if you're in the mood to shop, consumers. Hey, we'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye. That's too bad.